This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We are here on a Wednesday, and Nicole Bateman is in studio. She's usually with us every other Friday, which we love. We had some skits, and she was, flexible enough to come in a couple of days early. Good to see you. Isn't it a difference like one day makes? Like when it was 18 yesterday, and felt like we had arrived at winter overnight, and now we got 40 today, and we got 60s in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Me too. It definitely is. This is going to warm up. It's going to get better.
That's exactly right. All right. As we get the year, I guess you'll be with us one more time before the new year. It has just been a year. And reading the tea leaves isn't as easy as it, you know, everything has been literally upside down, turned on its head, accelerated. We don't know where all the pieces are going to land. And yet it's busier than it's ever been.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because this time of year in our line of work in economic development, typically when we're talking about site selection and decisions, it usually gets kind of quiet this time of year. You know, people are taking time off. People are changing the care. Everything being put on pause. A lot of projects, year-long, year-and-a-half pause button. The ones that are full steam ahead, it's pedal to the metal. And we are, you know,
and the timeline is just the timeline.
The timeline is a timeline. Yeah. It's not, which is a really positive thing and a positive thing. So we're going to continue to work, catering to those companies and trying to bring them home. But you're right, we don't know what holds, and nobody yet in all of these, you know, daily newsletters I get and industry experts that are talking, nobody has figured it out yet. And it's going to be a while. I feel like we're still kind of in that, you know, that snow globe where you shake it up and you're watching things fall. Well, that snow globe still being, we're not quite sure how things are going to settle out.
Well, I feel like we're, for all the things that we can control, meaning as a community, we're doing most of the right things. I mean, mm-hmm. There's always room for improvement. I feel better cooperation intergovernmentally, cooperation, you know, from industry. And I feel like everyone's really working hard to fill these jobs. I mean, results right now we're trying to get, but I feel like the work's being done.
You know, I I don't know how this maybe compares to, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but I think maybe for the first time, all shapes and industries found themselves with the same exact. So there's something in that I think was really positive. Our companies, at least I've seen on a local level, large and small, were really connecting in spaces that they hadn't before and trying to problem solve in ways that they'd not needed to do. So seeing those collaborations, seeing those conversations, getting our education pipelines and our training pipelines stronger through new opportunity college, workforce investment solutions, some new opportunities through Milliken, you know, and then bringing that down into the high school level and employers. I think candidly, you and I recognize as well, leaders, establishing the ag program, right? In the CDL programs and all these programs that needed to be happening, what we had in gap, the employment industry pre-pandemic are just exacerbated now. And we have to continue to work towards that. It's harder though, because people's work have changed. And so we've got to continue to plug away. We've got a great year to do that and a lot of funding behind it. And so we'll continue to work on that, because especially when we talk to companies about site selection, it was interesting. There was every year a survey is by the magazine. It's not a magazine. Nobody's
right. Okay, we know the digital equivalent. Yep, yes.
Exactly. And so in those site sectors in 2019, labor cost was number 3. That number 5 in 2020. The availability of labor went from 2 to number 1. So it was, okay, you know, what's your labor pool look like? How much? Now it's, we don't care how much it costs. We just need to know we can get it. So seeing how that changed in just 1 year's time
and I think
was really interesting.
Overall, for people, that is all going to be a good thing. People are going to make more money.
Yes.
You could argue they should have made more money before, but that really doesn't do anything for the argument. I mean, moving forward, they're going to get paid more of their work. These are going to be, because of it, more profitable. And I think all those are good things out of a pandemic.
Definitely. You know, that's something that we track at the EDC is how the average hourly rate for private employers. So not being government employers or, you know, school districts and taxing bodies and things like that. We've been tracking for a couple of years now as one of our economic as to, you know, how is the community, how do we shape up to these other areas in the region? And I'm looking it up here now. Our hourly wage for private employers is up 7% year over year and the current rate is 38 cents an hour.
Right. And if you go to careersdecatur.com, or you can get that through NotDecatur, the EDC page there, the jobs page, to limitlessdecatur.com, several ways of information. But if when you ask the question, how much can I make? And you got a great infographic that's up there. So in Mid County, there's 200 factory jobs. Average wage of 16 jobs is $83,774.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We went through 100 city council candidates last time around that all every single all there was minimum wage and there was no opportunity. That's just in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. In healthcare, there are 341 jobs and the average wage is $47,756. Education and hospitality, transportation and logistics, financial services. There's on the financial services averages the average wage over the 61,000. They're not jobs.
Right, they're not jobs. And
those I are mentioned hundreds and jobs.
Yep. And count on that, those counts are really low from the amount of jobs available, because when we calculate those, you know, let's say Caterpillar will have 100 job openings just listed once, but we know they have more than that. So, you know, there is plenty of opportunities out there. There's plenty of opportunity skilled or to take those positions, and the cost of living is so incredibly low in this city. Your dollar goes a really long way. You have a really great life here. And that's, you know, that's important. And so we just hope that, you know, when folks are looking to get back to work, they consider all the opportunities that are available and that our community sees that we are paying good wages here and that people can make good money here. So that our
go to the website, short-term job training, long-term job training, mm-hmm. all the help that's available there. Be smart right now. You could really improve your lot in life because work ethic and want to learn. There are a whole bunch of people lined up looking for you.
And don't let the financial aspect of that deter you, because there are really great programs out there.
Like Rocky's in with us Rocky's every month to talk about
Richland
it.
Richland Community College Foundation. I serve on their board there, and they are just doing outstanding work. And they are continually looking for ways to assist folks who agreed or become skilled in different program areas so that they can contribute back to the community.
We spent a lot of time during the first 12 months, 18 months of the pandemic, kind of telling those stories. Mm-hmm. You know, not just talking to the people who want to find workers, but the workers themselves. And we talked to a young woman who, in fast food, you know, restaurant. She's an employer and a super and been promoted a couple of times, and she didn't believe she could do it up front.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's the kind of, I think, barrier for people.
You know, it is interesting because we tell our kids, you can be anything you want to be. And then at what point do we lose that? Because, you know, we have to have that mindset that, you know, we can learn how, we can learn a new skill. These employers do an excellent job of training on the job. So you don't have to come in knowing everything. Right now, what's your attitude and somebody that will continually come again and again and again. And if you get into this job market right now and you continue to prove yourself like that, you're going to be light years ahead of those that come in 6 months
you
from bet. Now.
You mentioned college and you know, a weekly basis, I have a conversation with Tat in the hallways mm-hmm. about the work there, the Rich program, right? And you want to talk about numbers, 89% of their graduate employers upon completion of that program, 89%. And a lot of these men and women have not had the easiest path. I mean mm-hmm. you know, folks who have been down on their luck or gotten or whatever. And you can do that at an 89-90% clip. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So Enrich, Jeremy Morris and Tat brought the Enrich students to the Richland Community College Foundation board meeting last month when we met. And just for them to meet the board members to tell their stories. And I mean, I had tears in my eyes because it was an all gentlemen group this time. But, you know, every one of them stood up and said, I want to provide for my family. You know, for the first time, I want to provide for my family. I want to give back to the community and I want to make some money. And now that I can be done in Decatur, I want to do it. And they just were, it just was so inspiring to see a unique program that was developed here in our community that can be templated and, you know, put out to the world.
Absolutely.
And we're just doing it.
But now we have the numbers. I mean, this isn't some sort of mm-hmm. pipe dream. I mean, this right. is an unbelievably successful and proven program.
Yep, exactly.
So let's just keep duplicating
yep.
it.
Right, right. And let's scale it up. How can we make that? I always ask Chris Velda, Dr. Velda, how do we scale this up? How do we make this bigger? Because every time we talk to businesses about coming to Decatur, they always want to know, well, what are your training pipelines look like? And we always tell them about Enrich because that's a really unique one. And they want to see that communities are doing things outside the box.
And employers have to change too, though, right? I mean, yeah. over the years, I've noticed it, and it really isn't even a thing. HR has been kind of a bureaucracy that didn't change much over like a 40 or 50 year period. You know, I remember having this conversation when I first took over the ACES program. The ag education for this was okay just to sit here and let people come to it. And she realized, nope, we now have to go to them. And I think there are a lot of people are in personnel that like, well, we don't have to do that outreach. They'll come to us. And they didn't recognize in the dynamics of how things were working. And I think the pandemic has now forced them to have to be very different in their mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've got to get creative with their, not only their recruitment techniques, but with their retention techniques. What is it that employees want today? And I don't think anybody's completely figured out, because we're still, like I said, kind of in this, we're not sure where the tea leaves. They've got to be actively about that, because they're seeing so many shifts. And, you know, our employers, time and time again, now, we don't have a hiring problem. We have a retention problem. And that is at all levels. It's not just, you know, the factory floor, gentlemen, you know, sitting on the trading floor as well. I mean, you can work for any company, and companies are opening their talent pools. That's an opportunity as well to recruit talent, because you're not limited to the geographical area in which you're located. But it just poses challenges to find a way to try to figure that out fast. And that's not a situation in which you can kick the can down the road, because it's really going
to
bite you.
No, and it's been interesting to watch those dynamics in action as people are trying to figure this out. A deal of time talking with these, you know, I mean, I'd never in my life heard of pet insurance, you know, as an incentive company, but it matters to young people. And so clearly companies like that are being very smart in how they're laying out a strategy of creating a culture people want to belong to. And it's, you can age and you just want to do the whole, I had to walk to school over broccoli all the way speech all day long. That's not going to get you employees.
No, it's not.
But there's still some of that out there.
There's a little bit of that out there. Yeah, definitely. Well, there's opportunities too. I know I got an email from Rodney Davis's, some new for employers to contribute to paying off student loans up to a certain dollar. I'm using that as a recruitment tool for new employees as well, right? So I'm glad to see that at some level, trying to do without getting their hands too much into it, right? And letting private businesses figure it out, but finding ways that they can meaningfully help incentivize by giving, you know, tax incentives to companies that want to contribute. So, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck and figuring this out. And as soon as we get it figured out, it's going to change.
Oh, it will. It will. There's no doubt. But it's changed going back to what it was.
I agree.
And I think people that are still holding on to that pipe dream are going to get left holding. Not going back. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle.
No, we're almost 2 years into this thing. It's not going back. And that's okay. So let's wrap our heads around it, figure out how we're going to move forward, and use it as an opportunity button.
And I also think too, you know, and I always believe this because I'm a homer, in putting the Rome together with all of our other communities, it was really interesting to take a deep dive into Bloomington and Normal and Springfield and Lafayette and Champaign, because I feel like we're not as good of them attitude still out sort of Macon County. No matter how many great things happen, we kind of are our own worst enemies. But when in doing that, I realized the opportunities we had. We were looking at, you know, cost of living and cost of homes and cost. And this idea of being able to work for ADM corporate in Chicago, but home. I mean, we have more to sell in a world that looks like that. Because it's cheaper to buy more house here than it is in Bloomington Normal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, looking at it as an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
How is this an opportunity to sell our community for all the great things that we already have that now just look better, right? Yep. And appealing. And, you know, that's both on the residential and resident side of residents, which is happening. I know we've talked about this before, but when we look at that census data, when we were losing hundreds and hundreds of people year over year, the county lost 11 people. Just 11. I know that sounds crazy,
it's moving in the right direction.
In the right direction, right.
Yeah. And quality of life. We just have the Parks Foundation, you know, people that want, I mean, that's when you're trying to recruit people to live in a place, just about, oh, it's a great job, we'll move there. It's what do I do with my, do with my kids?
Yep.
And so there's work on these fronts, but I feel like from a manufacturing point of view, I don't know how much is going to change, but global supply interruptions and just the supply chain side of things, companies are looking to help, you cross to the world and can't.
So couple that with the new technologies and everything going, education right now, that really positions Decatur's always been well positioned, obviously, for Maine. But in an opportunity where you have all of this mixed in together, the supply chain shortages, but now this very rapid industry in which the U.S. is woefully behind on, when we talk about electrification, we're trying to speed it up, right? We're seeing that in all the policies and the
and that's where government can actually,
exactly.
I mean, when they built infrastructure in this nation, I mean, what the wealth that created and the job created, mm-hmm. and we're certainly situated here. I know companies doing, mm-hmm. with Rivian, right up the road. And
yep.
I think that there's a real, seems like he understands that.
He does, and they just passed the Reimagining Electric, they call it the REV Act, which provide these for companies, not just the electric vehicle manufacturers themselves, but the supply and the component manufacturers as well, to locate in Illinois. That will give them some serious advantages over other states. And that's important, because at the end of the day, a risk for a company to locate Illinois in Macon County. And so when we have financial opportunities like that to bring them here, in this new industry in which we already have a major vehicle manufacturer and then other manufacturers in the area, that presents a new opportunity for us that we're very excited about and that we are going after.
I mean, Silicon Valley didn't start, I mean, it just didn't land,
right.
Started to be a space, and then that space grew, attracted more.
Now they're in Austin, Texas.
That's exactly.
So we don't have to be Detroit, Michigan. We can be away.
All right.
And this is exciting.
See, we should have Nicole in every day. Don't you feel better about the world after you get done talking to her?
All the time. I quote her all the time when I talk to her. Butcher most of it. So you need to make a cheat sheet for ambassadors so I can rattle off the right stats.
So you're just like, what, stopping people and say, let me paraphrase Nicole.
Well, anybody that has that grumpy, that grump about Decatur, that I don't know, Rivian being up the road. And it's like, here's why. Here's why this is
it's an opportunity for us.
Well, even the thought process around economic development years ago, Decatur, Bloomington, Champaign, Springfield, with each other. And I think now there is a general understanding from a 30,000 foot point of view that what's good for any of those is good for all of those, because you're thinking regionally.
Yep, we're going to market together. And when we talk about, let's just say, the electric vehicle industry and specifically that, or even what we already have right now in the food industry, and the companies are looking at these concentric. Who's 50 miles from us? Who's going to be 100? Who's 200 miles from us? And so for Decatur is the one for Champaign, Bloomington.
Because no one on their own has enough houses, enough. Mm-hmm.
They're all looking at
this day is just mm-hmm. very different than it was. And it was headed that way anyway. The study we talked about off the air, a lot of great resignation accelerated by the pandemic, but it was a lane we were already in.
Yep.
It just caused it to happen much faster than it would have taken to play out normally. So what might have taken 10 years in boat, all of a sudden 18 months, 2 years, you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to figure out, it's not like the pandemic caused it. It just accelerated.
It sure did. We're going to have all these retirees in the manufacturing industry coming. Well, we had that, plus an extra people that retired. Right now we really got to backfill. How are we going to do that? It's
and if you look at just the Nick, I shared that study with you. I mean, just the amount of kids we're having. I mean, Elon Musk just talked about it this week, that if we don't start having more, his words, he has a flair for the dramatic. I'm not so sure we're there, but you're certainly seeing that now. I mean, the population, the working age, the number of baby boomers, the mm-hmm. wealth that was created by those baby boomers, which causes less urgency. To build careers because of inheritance. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a gazillion things that go into this, and it's a very big, complicated thing. But I feel like we got the right people working on it.
And I think so. And it's we're going to keep what we do quiet, which probably largely what you did in economic development of the things that we have to keep confidential, and we do. But it's important when we talk about the working side, just the quality of life. It's knowing what our assets are to help land businesses here, because somebody that knows somebody. That's where that starts, and that's where our most fruitful projects come from. And so that's why we continue to talk about it. And that's why Nick, like you said, you're talking to the guy in the street. So you're pretty, because that's what it takes.
Nick's an ambassador for you.
Appreciate
he's out
it.
Preaching. He's a Kool-Aid drinker.
I'm a homer.
Wait a minute. That's me. I look that up. I didn't even know what that meant. I don't think it's me.
It's like taking the quiz these days. What's this mean?
Yeah, where am I on the spectrum? We'll find out. All right, mm-hmm. Nicole, have a great week, and thanks for bumping up. We just love having you. Don't want to miss an appearance.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the flexibility.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.